What's new this week? Anybody got anything to talk about or share with the group?
I failed my permit twice.
Today is your mom and dad's anniversary. Nice. How long have they been married?
21 years.
21 years.
That's all my depressing.
Okay, so hold on here. Sierra, you said you failed your permit twice? Yeah, I guess, yeah. So how did that happen?
I had 5 more questions left because there's 25 on the test.
Oh, the written part.
No, it was on the converting
on the road. Okay.
You could choose to do it written or you could choose to do it on a computer. But
There were words.
Okay. So, you messed up on the road part, you said?
I messed up on everything.
On everything? Okay. That's is this your first time taking it? Is it your first, second time taking it?
Yeah, technically I took it twice in the first day.
Okay.
You can only take it 2 times in 1 day.
So. Alright, well, hey. Now you'll be even more prepared for it. So. Alright, let's hear what Joey's got to say. Joey, what's going on with you today?
I fixed my car.
Yes, now wait, let's hear about what happened with Joey's car. So, for all you that are kind of new drivers right now, Joey is, what he's doing, he's taking all the things that you shouldn't do, and he's tying them out so that you all can be safe. All right, so, Joey, tell us. Yeah, go ahead, please stand up. Now, Joey, tell us exactly what took place. Now, this is what are we going to call this? Case number one of case what not to do when driving. Each week we'll try to have a new one for Joey.
All right, if you put this in the math, all right, I got my driver's license May 30th. I got into my first wreck. Yeah, last week.
Okay, wait, let me put that in. So, driver's license plus first wreck equals bad driver. Okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I was coming home Saturday night after Jason's Deli, and
so he's leaving.
Yeah.
Jason's Deli Saturday night.
Yeah. I'm getting this ready. So I was going down a gravel road and it's listed at 35. Well, the turn came up faster than I expected. So instead of just keep going, I turn the wheel.
Wait, hold on. Do they even have speed limits on gravel roads?
Yes.
Yeah, they do? Okay, go ahead.
So, let's just say, since mine's a front wheel drive, the back end fishtailed out to the left. And so then I turned the wheel to the left to correct it, and it switched back to the right side.
Did you have a road that you could have kept going straight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, by the way, it's your turn.
Anyhow. Case number one.
This is
let me lay it out. Case number one. All right.
I went into a ditch and I hit a tree. That tree kind of saved my life because if that tree wasn't there, I would have went through the barbed wire fence or I would have flipped. So I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
The only damage that
happened. But you're only going 35 miles an hour, right?
So, yeah, 35.
That's
afterwards
when you're out of your seatbelt.
Yes.
Tell them how you backed out of the ditch.
Hold on.
That's when the real
thing. Actually, no, I don't have one.
Oh, all right, so that's good. Case number one did not involve a cell phone.
And
you were not speeding, right?
No, I was going 35.
He was going 35. You just had a lot of momentum.
I was going 35. Yeah, 35.
And he was wearing his seatbelt.
Anyhow, so I put it in reverse and backed out. And my front bumper was just laying in the ditch. So I was like, oh wow, I have to grab this and put it in my car and get home. So I folded down the seat and shoved my front end into my trunk and shut my trunk and drove home. And I got home and I was like, Mom, I got in a wreck. She's like, are you kidding me?
It was the funniest conversation ever.
Wait, so what were you two doing while you said this?
I was in the car.
so you're driving home.
No, I didn't know. I opened the garage. I opened the garage door. Also, Joey's just front end is in the garage.
I had the conversation because they put it on, like, they have a Bluetooth thing in the car, so they, like, put it on speaker, and it was the funniest conversation.
Oh, so were you in the car with him?
No.
Oh.
I was, no. I would have been, but I was like, no. He called my mom, and I was in the car with him.
So the total number for fixing my car was $3. Because there were clips holding the front end of my car on, and most of those were not there. So when I backed out and the ditch grabbed the front end of my car and pulled off the clips.
That was nice.
So it was just a three. Yeah. It was a pretty nice ditch. It wasn't too deep. But yeah, in all it was $3, and I'm alive. So I also learned not to drive in the dark on a gravel road.
Alright! Woo! Tune in next week for clue number two.
Yes,
okay, number two.
I guess we need some back stories too.
Some what stories?
Technically, he did get his keys taken away 2 weeks before that.
Oh, wow.
Less driving experience now.
What? I didn't get my keys taken away 2 weeks before that.
And
how do you know
this? All right, so if you guys... Joey's going to give us the mainstream. Sarah's going to give us the tabloids, like the dirty stuff that goes along with it. So we'll just come to you with all that stuff. All right.
I have a quick gravel story.
What was your gravel story? Were you on a horse?
Sure as no.
I'm on a horse. What's that? Mailbox.
Come on up here. Step on the stage.
You did it?
I was like, yeah.
Okay. So,
I'm
Joey.
So I was driving home from Abby Howe's house, if you guys know her, and she lives on a gravel road, and I wasn't doing anything stupid. I wasn't on my phone, my seatbelt was on, and I was going the speed limit, and there was like a little drop-off area to the side, and normally in gravel roads you want to kind of stay in the middle just in case you do start to slide a little bit, but so I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting too close to the edge here, and so I went and I overcorrected. And, okay, I'm, like, screaming the whole way down, but I go off into the left ditch, and I go, and there's a telephone pole right there, so I have to dodge that, and I slam on my brakes as hard as I can, and I'm this far away from hitting a tree. Oh, it scared me so bad. And then so I went and I tried to back out, and then my tire got caught in the ditch and, like, in the mud, and so, like, there was no traction. And so I had to call Abby and her mom just so they can teach me how to put it in four-wheel drive and just drive out.
Wait. So what kind of car were you in?
I have a Toyota Tacoma.
You had a truck.
Yeah, it's a truck, yeah.
All right.
I didn't. My mom never saw
it. So let that be news to you, all you truck buyers.
Oh,
all
right. Yeah, you still got phone.
Sounds like it was not an American truck. It sounds like it was a foreign truck. The American landscape, I guess.
It's 2003. It might be careful around stuff.
That's good. No, Toyota's good stuff. ISIS uses
just
it.
Just careful on speed. All right. Careful on driving.
My car's older than yours by a year.
Huh?
Wait, no, my car's younger.
Wait,
no. My car's younger.
Come back from the Twilight Zone. No, that's good. Well, what else we got? So we got some close calls in the cars. Jordan, what's up with you?
I'm going camping at the Braxton's.
When?
Tomorrow.
Wait, are you guys roughing it? Or is this,
They have an arm mail.
You said you're glamping, right? That's glamping. What is that? That's glamorous camping? I was sitting over here like this, and Joey said he almost bit my hand. He thought this. From now on, I'll be wearing white gloves like Michael Jackson. Alright, what else we got? Logan, so how's the first practice tonight, guys?
I feel like he stops more than we say.
Listen. If you guys like were smashing it the first time,
I killed a spider.
Alright, that's good too. If you guys were smashing it and getting everything right the first time, there'd be like no type of improvement. You wouldn't be like feeling rewarded at the end of it. Now we got a lot to look forward to. The end result's gonna be that much more congratulated or whatever. So stick with it. And then I'll work with a piano next time. Never had a piano, it always helped out, so. Good stuff. Alright, any other announcements?
Amanda.
On July
9th. July 9th.
Yeah, read that for us. What do we got going? Yeah, while she's looking it up, Sunday after church, we'll have youth leadership, our last one. So, like I said, this Sunday. So we'll provide lunch for you guys. We'll have our youth leadership, and then we'll go over our song again. And actually, we could add one more thing to that. So, for the girls. The girls can add one more thing to that.
Like laws and helps and...
On Tuesday, July 3rd, we're going to have a prayer meeting for camp like we did last year. And like the Kennecuts and us, like we did last year, we're just going to talk about the years of camp and like our goals for this year at camp, like going into camp and coming out, and we'll like pray over camp and stuff. And if you guys want to like talk about something that like affected you at camp, like from the sermons and stuff, you can talk about that. Or you can talk about your goals. You don't have to, like, just if you want to. And then we'll have dinner at 6:30.
This is Tuesday, July 3rd?
Yes.
Oh, so right before the 4th.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm preparing.
And what time is that, Amanda?
2 days ago. Like at 6:30.
Okay.
Alright.
Tuesday, July 3rd at the Brad King's house. Camp prayer get together. Jordan, how the games go this week, man?
I lost.
Alright.
It was
8-10? Not too bad.
This coming Tuesday, if you are going to come to watch Kayla and I play, we will actually be beginning an hour earlier. I play at 4, she'll be playing at 6.
Is this at Harrisonville again?
Yeah.
At 4 and 6? Okay, thank you for letting me
play. I play at 5.
Corinne?
Everything happens in Harrisonville.
Colton's not here tonight, but he got nominated to play for the All-Star game for his age group.
Gee, let's not perform even though he's not here. Hey, wow, that's good, man. Good job. Way to go. That kid's been killing it, man. Jenny. Actually, I'll keep going up here and do that. I'll let not that word come out of my mouth. Alright, so Jenny. Jenny has something for you all that have no. Want to get something going with this, so.
Yes, this is ladies only.
Okay. I like this.
Just bring it down.
Hot suckers.
I'm glad.
Every year here in the metro area, they do this thing called Shakespeare in the Park.
AKA mosquitoes in the park.
So Zach is negative and won't go with me, so I said I'll find someone else to go. So we're just doing a girls' night. It's gonna be Tuesday. I don't know the date. June, whatever.
26th. Yeah.
We're probably gonna try and get down there. It's down by the Nelson, so kind of like the plaza area. Get down there about 7. The show starts at 8. It's free.
Wait. Oh, well, you go ahead and say your announcement. Then I'll come back and tell the truth about everything. All right, go ahead.
It's outdoor. It's live, but it's nice because it's on a little hill, and you just bring a blanket and you can sit and watch live. Against beer.
I would love to go, but I can't.
We have volleyball.
This girl's not having it. So anyone, if you're a female.
Hey,
Angel.
What lay will it be?
It is Much Ado About Nothing.
Does anybody know that?
It's a love story and a comedy after. Like they all are.
So can we go blow something up on the
door? Yeah, absolutely. Let's do
that. Okay, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to that.
It starts at 8. It's probably going to be at least 2 hours.
At least.
So.
2 hours of your life. You can never get back.
If it's not great, they have an intermission. If it's not great, we can leave.
You said it's every year.
It's fun. It's something different. It's, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we'll have more opportunities.
All right. Thanks, Jenny. All right, so. Now, let's do a disclaimer on that. So, the truth of the matter is, I have gone to this, that is why I'm not going this year. Alright, so.
Exactly.
He just wasn't paying attention. Henry VIII was one.
Oh.
And then Midnight Summer Dream was last year. The year before. Yeah, it was okay. Listen, this is what happened. So this is great. Like, I was the first year we went, I was super excited about going to this and doing it all because I'm kind of into like that classical period. I love like the Elizabethan age. I like check it out. I even like some of Jane Austen's works, like the Pride and Prejudice stuff, just because of the classical language that they use and the wit and that stuff. It's pretty cool. So I thought I was gonna get that when I went to Shakespeare in the Park. The problem was the men in tights, I guess, for me, was just a little much. Okay, really, really stretchy pants is what they were wearing. Was just like, ugh. So that, number two, the mosquitoes, you know, if you think Joey was going to bite my finger, for whatever reason, bugs light me up, all right? So, that's right. Once the sun goes down, it's like open season on me, so. And I'm just like sitting there taking it, you know. Jenny was, you know, she's enjoying the classical play that's going on. I'm just getting lit up the whole time. It was pretty humid the night that we went, but also it's just a different group, it's a different crowd too. So we just put it like that. So like I said, hey, I gave it two chances. I went twice, and I just realized, you know what, this isn't my thing. I'm gonna go ahead and, you know what, I realized if Jenny and I went together, it would look like a date. So I was like, you know what, I think the Lord's calling me to step out of this so that other kids can go with you and anybody else who wants to go. Now, like, more people can be included in it, and it's, you know, it's not like, because then otherwise, if other people went, it'd be like, you guys, like, would be one big third wheel for our date, so it's like, it's not like that anymore.
Thank you.
That's right. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, if that tickles your fancy, please feel free to join that. Tuesday, June 26th, 7 p.m., Southmoreland Park. So there we go. All right. I promoted that pretty good. Okay. All right. Stand on up. Let's start singing. Let's get some song in here. Hey, let's get the packets. Pass out the packets and the songbooks. Let's get those songbooks and the packets passed out.
Do not mock chlorine.
Oh, yeah.
We put some of that on.
Take one.
You're like, I hate this guy.
Alright, turn to 296. 296. And then we're gonna have Logan pray for us, and then we're gonna get rolling. Rolling, rolling.
Oh, I passed it.
Why did that song pop?
Happy Lauren?
I did
something. Stop
it! Yeah, I hope you like it.
Yes! All the way up.
Let's be great, she did.
Yeah, yeah. Before she saw that, right?
My legs.
Alright, here we go. Logan, pray for us and then we'll start singing. Go, Logan.
Dear Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Please just help us have a good time tonight and learn more about you. And hope this song serves to prepare our heart for whatever Zach has for us in Jesus' name.
Alright, all the way my Savior leads me. It might be a little unfamiliar to some of you, but you'll catch on soon here. Verse number one. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine comfort, here my faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Verse number one.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Verse number two.
promise perfect peace and rest.
All right, number 270, the Haven of Rest.
My soul is saddened, sad, one time I see, so burden with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I laid my soul in the haven of rest, I'll stand. No more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to His tender embrace. In pain, taking hold of the Word, my fetters fell off.
Sinners lost and bore a painful wrath.
this one. Let's do God's Wonderful Books of Ryan.
God's Wonderful Books of Ryan.
What's the light of that shining so bright for me?
God's Wonderful Books of Ryan.
Alright, here we go. Here you look.
What light is that shining so brightly for me? That gives me such courage, the right way to see. One hope for
right,
my
God. Right, let's do it.
Very high, very high.
Alright, let's stop it. Here we go.
What light is that shining so brightly for me? That gives me such courage, the right way to see. What hope for my trust in soul ever shall be? God's wonderful book divine. What hope for the traveler whose strength's almost gone? That makes them determined to keep plodding on. What sweet consolation from heaven's bright throne. God's wonderful book divine. I love the old bird. Yeah. The light of my way to shine. It keeps me so happy.
So
always I'm happy. God's wonderful book divine. You trust as a guide for your soul. When tempests so strand you on some treacherous shore, well, our compass will point you to heaven's bright door. God's wonderful book divine. What hope for the traveler so simple and mild? A map that will guide the footsteps of his child. What sweet consolation keeps me all the while? God's wonderful book divine. So loving and true, God's wonderful book divine. In case you are wondering of which book I speak, it's only version authorized by the King. His words are preserved through the ages of time. God's wonderful book divine. I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, a light on my pathway to shine.
Let me ask you guys this. If Sunday I came with parts to this, would you guys also want to try this one? Look at Kelly right there. Yes, I'm getting a lot of head nodding going on here. I think so. And I especially think if I got like four of us in here to learn the parts and then we could break up into groups in those four groups and sing them, I think we could do it. Even if we just did two parts, like one melody and one harmony going along with it. So be prepared for that. Sunday we might be doing that too. Cause we got our other one down pretty well now.
You didn't say surprise.
Hey, come here often.
Oh no, there was kind of like an alternate part of you.
Oh
yeah.
Have you seen the Infinity War?
All right, here we go. How deep the Father's love?
How deep the Father's love for us? How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one. his face away, as moved with my love chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
What should I gain?
Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
All right, good job, guys. Go ahead and sit down. Sit down. All right.
Zach has the rest of our package. We only have good lunch. That's it.
Alright.
Like
I need someone to turn to Genesis chapter 3. I need another somebody to turn to Matthew 4.
I got Matthew 4.
And then come by there one more time. I need 1 John 2. So what do you got, Sierra?
Matthew 4.
Who's got Genesis 3? Lexi? And who's got 1 John 2? Who? All right, Kaylin. Nice.
Which bird?
Bang.
You so know.
Oh, boy.
What? All right. Today's going to be about, actually, I'm going to kind of go over like a review. I got to watch this Christian film and over my mom's house. She's always into, you know, passing stuff like that on to us and everything like that. You guys remember that movie God's Not Dead that came out?
Yeah.
So that was like a huge thing for like a lot of Christians, you know, because now they had someone speaking for them. They had a voice out there in Hollywood that was speaking for them and everything like that. So they're, you know, big behind that. I guess like a couple of years ago, really like in the 90s, Christian films really start to like come into their own. You had, you know, several of them. One of the main actors was Kirk Cameron, that kind of became a big like Christian movie celebrity or whatnot. He had like a movie called Flywheel, Fireproof. There's several of them. I remember watching all those things like when I was coming up. And the idea was that God has blessed his people, we're his children. Anything that the world does, we should be able to do too. So if the world has a Hollywood, we should be able to have a great, you know, movie industry also. If the world has great universities, we should have ours. And one of the number one Christian universities is like Liberty University over there in Virginia. So this kind of like follows that line. Anyway, every now and then, like, I'll get cornered. We'll be over there on second Sunday dinner. And, you know, my mom would just put something in, you know, because we're downstairs getting ready to fall asleep. She knows we're not going to get up and go. So there I am sitting before the latest Christian theater. And, this is what happened this time. She put in a movie called Connect. Have you guys heard about that? Okay, good. Connect is basically about social media today and kids. And Kirk Cameron pretty much does like a little documentary film where he goes around and interviews different people that have had issues with it, the ways that social media has affected their family. And then at the end of it, like the overall theme is just that, like, they're walking away saying that this is the devil's latest trick, technique to try to destroy the family and the church today. Is social media and everything like that, which is fine. You know, I understand like where he's coming from. There's been plenty of things that have gone, you know, awry with social media and families. I know about tons of them, even with our own kids and stuff like that, where we've had to deal with issues. So it's founded. There's some absolute proof for that. At the end of the day, though, what you got to be careful about, and this is why usually when mainstream Christianity puts something out, I stay away from it. They'll always touch on symptoms of a greater problem. Social media and it becoming the authority in your child's life, and where that thing itself becomes out of hand and starts to destroy your family, is only a symptom of a greater issue. It's only a symptom of a greater problem. And the sad thing is, they did a really good job. Actually, when I do this review of this thing, I'm going to stick to a lot of the points that they made because they're very good. Because they did touch and they addressed the issues of the day, and they had some good stuff to add to it. But the sad thing about it, when they walked away, you got this idea that if you apply these principles to your family to stop these bad social media habits, that your family all of a sudden would be what God would want it to be. Well, all throughout the movie, they're quoting from the devil's Bible. And they've lost the true authority that they need in their lives to make their family what God wants it to be. You see, the reason social media was able to come into their kids' lives and other people in the world were able to become that authority for them is because they already took away the number one authority that God gave them, that God would support, that God would get behind to strengthen that family. And so it's kind of sad when you see that and you realize that, who knows, 10 years from now they'll have another video coming out about the next thing that the devil's using, because all they're doing is taking care of symptoms. All right, and what I want to do, I want to show you guys the attacks of the devil and how he does it. And I'm going to give you guys 5 lies, and I got this from this film with Kirk Cameron. There's actually a lady on there named Kathy Coach, and she came up with some good things. She called them 5 lies our children are believing because of social media and technology. And they're spot on. They're fine. They're backed off of biblical principles, and I'll show you that in a little bit. But I want to show you that this is nothing new. Yeah, the medium today that the devil's using is social media, and it's kind of a slick way that he's done it. But at the same time, he's come at us this way for the last 6,000 years. And the first time you see it is over here in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Sierra?
I have Matthew 4.
Oh, sorry. Who has Genesis 3? Lexi? Sorry, Lexi. All right, Lexi, Genesis chapter 3. Look at, we'll pick it up in verse 4. Go ahead, sorry. All right, did you guys see that 3-point outline in verse number 6? The 3 things that the devil gave or offered to Eve. And I've talked about this. Anybody that's been around the church or been around softball, volleyball devotions, I'm sure there's been tons of people to lay out those things. Verse 6, she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. And the big thing you want to get right there is when the devil comes to tempt you, it's oftentimes with positive, good things. Okay, oftentimes we get this idea that the devil's coming with, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know, murder, you know, just something super sinister or something like that. But we see that the way that he came to someone that was in a perfect environment, it was with good things. But it was with things that you had to get by disobeying what God told you to do. So he tried it back there at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. Well, it didn't stop. When the second Adam, Jesus Christ, showed up, he tried it one more time. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. All right, Sierra?
Verse
5. Verse 5.
Okay. Then the devil...
Oh, sorry. Just kidding. Pick it up in verse 1.
Okay. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Yep.
Okay. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God again. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Alright, that's good, Sierra. Thank you. Oh, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So, did you guys notice that again? Those three things? The first thing he said, makes these stones into bread. He tempted him with something that was good for food. Alright? Then he said, go up on the top of the temple and jump off. Alright, the next thing he tempted him with was wisdom. Taking him up to a high spot. A high mind, a higher knowledge and stuff like that is what we talk about. The last thing he said was the pride of life. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him something that was pleasant to his eyes. He tried to entice him with all the world's kingdoms and get Jesus Christ to crumble with those same three things. You guys see how consistent the Bible is? The same way the devil tempted the first Adam and Eve, it's the same way he tempted the second one, the second Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. You guys, you and I, the church, we're the Eve. And he's going to tempt us with the same things. And if you don't believe it, watch in the New Testament. Once you get down Matthew 4, come on over to 1 John chapter 2. And who's got that, Kaylin? All right, you're going to pick it up in verse 15.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Bam, there he is again. Third time. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here the three things are again, for all that is in the world. Are you kidding me? Right here in verse 16, he sums up everything that is in the world, and he puts them into three categories. Category number one, the lust of the flesh. There it is again. When Satan was back there, he tried to give Eve something that was good for food, for her belly, the lust of the flesh. He tried to tempt Jesus Christ to turn the stones into bread, lust of the flesh. All right, number two. The lust of the eyes. Eve saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes. Satan took Jesus Christ up into the temple and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and how pleasant they were. And once again, pleasant to the eyes. And the third one, the pride of life. He tried to tempt Eve with the knowledge. He tried to tempt Jesus Christ with taking himself up high into that temple. So right there, you see the devil's tactics are the same throughout the Bible, from the beginning all the way to the end. And what we're going to see today is when it comes to social media, what he's done, instead of trying to tempt us and get us to believe these lies by what he says, instead of trying to get us to believe these lies by what we read in the Bible anymore, or in books and stuff like that, nowadays what the devil's doing, he's going to get us to believe these lies because they're a part of our daily routine. It's not what he says to us anymore. You see, we're in Laodicea. We're not in a church age where we're persecuted any longer. The Roman Catholic Church isn't on our heels looking to see who the Bible believers are and calling us heretics and trying to burn us at the stake. The Roman government isn't after us. We don't have to do like Bob's funny illustration in the Bible study last week and sneak around and write fissures on walls and junk like that, you know, because we're persecuted, at least not over here in America. Okay? And so, what the devil's done to us to throw us off our game is he's given us affluence. He's given us comfort. He's given us everything that we could possibly want so that we see no need to trust and rely on God. And what you're going to find today is that there are five lies that the devil's going to give us through social media and through our daily routine. And it's going to be tough for us not to believe these things. You're going to see what I'm talking about here when we get going. So, I want you guys to write these down. I'm going to go through the lies first, and I'm going to come back and talk about the truth that the Bible has to say about these things. and at least you'll be able to walk away. And the cool thing about this is, this won't be new for a lot of you guys because of the principles that you've grown up on. But it will be very helpful for you guys to look at what's happening in your friend's life. And maybe you catch some of these things in your own life. I definitely caught some of these in mine. Some of the tendencies that I have nowadays, the ways that I look at things, have been bred based off of my daily routines that I've gotten based off of social media. You'll see what I'm talking about here. So let's jump into them. Five lies that kids believe in adults based off of social media today and our technology. Lie number one. Once you get into a routine of social media and you start making that a part of your daily habit, one of the lies that's going to become easier for you to believe is that you are the center of the universe. You are the center of the universe. It's not a big deal now, but they used to have MySpace. You know, Facebook, you know, we know about what's going on with that. The whole iPhone is supposed to be a personalized computer that's catered to you. All right, all these systems. Our first computers were to run systems. They were to compute things like calculators and stuff like that. But then we went to these things called PCs, personal computer. Now we want to take all that command, all that knowledge, and put it in your own personal space, in your own personal realm. Once you start to use social media, the more and more you use it, you start to get the idea that the universe revolves around you and that you are the center of the universe. Has anybody ever bought anything online and then maybe like 1 or 2 months after that, like consecutively, you continually see ads pop up about things that you bought? So not only do you buy stuff and it caters to you, but now all the ads, they can look at the algorithms, they can look at the metadata, and they can start selling to you based off of what your interests are. They're not just going to send you random ads. You know, I don't get a lot of Easter dress ads when I'm online and stuff like that. They send me stuff about tactical gear, workout clothes, you know, music stuff and stuff like that. All my ads have to do with that. And it's funny, I could be on a website that has to do like with the dictionary, and next thing you know, the ads are popping up about, you know, sniper rifles and stuff like that. Now, how is that possible? Well, they look at the history of what I bought, and they look at the customer, and they cater to that customer, and they advertise based off of that guy's needs. And the more and more you see that, you start to realize that, wow, man, the universe kind of revolves around me. One of the funny things that you guys probably took for granted, because most of you grew up with this, I didn't. It kind of came in when I was younger, but I knew a time where we didn't have this, but caller ID actually gives you a sense of superiority. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, check this out. Now, when someone calls you on the phone, I mean, what happens? You can see who it is. You know, I see it's Aaron Kruss. I'm like, okay, I don't want to answer that, so I put it down, okay? Back in the day, you couldn't do that. But the phone rang, you had no idea who it was. You had to pick up to find out who that person was. But now the power is in your control. You can look at who it is, and you can, like God, say, yes, I'll receive this, or no, I won't. Set them aside. The same way with text. Text is probably the closest thing we can do to mind reading. Same thing. Aaron can send me a text, and I can look at that text, oftentimes on my watch even, on my little Fitbit here. Or I can see, like, just a preview of the text and what he's talking about. I can look at it and decide if I want to respond to it without opening up and letting Aaron know that I've seen it at all. I've seen what's on Aaron's heart, what's on his mind when he sends me that text without responding back to him. And maybe I don't care to talk about what Aaron said, then he might say, hey, you get my text? And I can just say, no, I never got it, man, even though I know exactly what he's saying. That gives you a certain amount of power that human beings did not have before. You have insight into somebody's thoughts. You have insight into what they're saying. And all of a sudden, the more and more you do that, the more and more you look at texts that come through and say yay or nay to them, the more and more you look at caller ID that comes through and say yes or no to that, you start to get this feeling of it's all about me. What if Aaron really needed me to pick up? What if, and he didn't leave a voicemail for whatever reason? What if he really needed me to respond? Well, it doesn't matter. I can play ignorance to that. That's one of the dangerous things that's going on right now. We used to have to answer that phone to see who was there. And the sad thing about this is it develops this me first attitude. It's no longer me serving those that are trying to contact me. It's all about me. Now you say, well, Zach, what's so wrong with that? The more and more you start to cater to yourself, you become the essence of your whole world. You say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's great. You know, if I'm not for myself, who will be? You know, I gotta look out for me. Well, watch this. What happens when your world crashes? If all your world consists of is you and what you care about and what your feelings are and what's going on with you, when that world crashes, guess what? Nothing else matters. If nothing else matters, what's the point of living? All right, enter a greater suicide rate amongst our generation. That's why. It's all about you. There's nothing greater to live for anymore. You found ways to cater to yourself. You blocked out everyone else, and now you're isolated. And now there's no help for you. So what's the alternative? We got to move on to something else. What's in the next life? That's one of the dangerous things. The first lie about social media is that I am the center of the universe. The second thing is this. I deserve to be happy all the time. I deserve to be happy all the time. It's the happiness lie. You know, and that's one of those things, man, it's tough. You know, if you're not happy nowadays, people think that there's something wrong. The norm, what used to be normal for human beings, used to be a calm, temperate attitude. You know, you didn't have to. Nowadays, I think what the norm for human beings is this clown face. You know, like you just always, you know, like that, like a guy that's hyped up on speed or something like that. And that's not normal. You know, the Lasers mom, Karen, she was telling me that. That's one of the things that she really enjoyed about this church. And Christians are bad for this too, man. We're all about, you know, love and kindness and stuff like that. And we think that Christianity is all about, you know, rainbows and sunshine and stuff like that. But it's absolutely not. The thing I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm a Christian because when the tough times come, I've still got hope. You know, when I've got friends and family that are sick, that are dying, when I got bad things going on in my life, I know that, hey, I know that all things work together for good, and them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I know that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed to me later on. The thing that makes a Christian great is his ability to get through the circumstances of life. He didn't have to have perfect stuff in his life, but he's got something strong to get him through. But nowadays, it's not like that. And Karen brought up the fact how she liked when she came to our church. You know, she said people were just more normal. She said it wasn't like you had to be happy all the time. You know, people asked, you know, how's your day? And, you know, it wasn't all, you know, positive answers. It was like, oh, well, my day kind of sucked. And she was blown back by that. What? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to say your day sucks. What? But that's normal. And I think part of that has come from this attitude of we ought to be happy all the time. And, you know, that's partly because of social media also. It's catered to you. If you don't have what you need, it's only a click away when you can get that thing. To support this mentality of I've got to be happy all the time, social media gives us everything that's new. It gives us everything now. How often do they update the iPhone? What is it, like every month or something like that? It seems like it's ridiculous. I get an iOS update almost every other month, okay? And the technology that they add is cool, but it's just like different emoji faces. But it makes you feel like you've got something new, so it feeds that adrenaline. It feeds you. It does something psychologically to you to make you think that I've attained something better. And so you keep feeding that attitude of I got to have something new. I've got to be happy. New clothes. Now, I was fortunate. I got some hand-me-downs, but for the most part, my parents bought me new things. But I knew my parents, what it was, that their clothes lasted 20 years. What their big sister wore, my mom ended up graduating with. You know what I mean? It was stuff like that. And they were super happy about it. But nowadays, we think if it's not new, then we can't be happy about it. You see this in relationships. Our relationships are oftentimes very superficial. We think that if somebody isn't agreeing with us, if they're not going along with us, if they're not befriending us like we think they ought to, we move on to someone else. It's not, oh, let's figure out what's going on. Let's talk about why this thing isn't working out. It's just, no, move on to something else. I got to stay happy. I got to stay happy. I got to have something new. I got to be moving on. And that's how we operate. New friends, new clothes, new cars, new job. You know, I was reading back in the 1980s, the average lifespan for someone at their job was about 12 to 15 years. And then they would move on to something else. You know what the average lifespan for someone at a job today is? 1 to 2 years. Why is that? You got to be happy. You got to keep moving on. You don't stick with your job through the ups and downs, through the thick and thin. Nowadays, they call it career hopping. And they say the average adult nowadays will have up to 11 jobs. 11 different lifetime jobs, okay? That's wild, man. My dad, I think, has been at the Ford Motor Company for now 30 years. 30 years. And you just don't hear about that anymore because we are fed this mentality that it's got to be new and it's got to be now. And that moves on to the new Bibles. In order for Christians to feel like God's doing something new in their lives, they got to get a new book. They got to get a new Bible out there. All right? So that's lie number two. I deserve to be happy all the time. Lie number three. I must have choice. I must have choice. When you guys get online and you start to click on stuff, how many times do you have a drop-down menu? You know, it's books, TV, but once you touch that books icon, oh man, look at all the different categories of books that they have. Once you go into the categories, look at all the different authors. Once you go into all the different authors, look at all the different years that they wrote. It's all kinds of options. And nowadays, we feel like everything in life ought to be run like that. You know, back when I was coming up, and my mom would make dinner. Number one, we never had dessert every night after dinner. And there wasn't, like, candy for us to go to and ask mom for after dinner. I'd say about once or twice a week she would make dessert, and whatever she made is what we got, you know? And nowadays, it's funny, like, when we get done eating at the house, Brady and Brynn, you know, Jenny will have made, you know, some type of, like, chocolate chip cupcakes or something like that. Maybe we'll have some leftover cake from another church event, but then they'll also have candy up there. And what we'll offer to them, they'll say, no, I don't want any cake. I was thinking, I couldn't imagine being a kid saying, no, I don't want cake. That doesn't even make sense. I don't know how they can formulate that sentence. I mean, how could you resist cake anyway? So, but they can say that. But why is that? Just because of the options that are in their lives. The options. It's no more take it or leave it in our society. You know, back when my mom used to cook something for dinner, if you didn't eat that, you didn't eat that night. Yeah. Nowadays, the same thing. Jenny will make something, and I'm even bad with this. I'll look at what she made, and I'm like, oh, let's see. Do we have frozen pizza in there? You know, I'll kind of look past what she... Not because I really want to, just because I want to save something for leftover or something like that. Okay, so you check that out, and it's like, even I'm getting into that mentality. When I grew up, knowing better. But nowadays, it's not a take-it-or-leave-it mentality anymore. It's, okay, you made that. What other options are there? That's why it takes us so long to figure out where to go after church when it comes time to eat, right? Sundays, yeah. We stand around for 30 minutes trying to figure out where to eat. Because of the options. It's no more take it or leave it. If you don't like it, there's another one that you will like. That's just how that thing goes. We got to keep moving here. I can't spend too much time on these. The next one, number 4, out of our 5 lies. And all these things kind of build up to these last two. Number 4 is this. I am my own authority now. You know, and I'd say with Google and Siri, this has kind of helped out with that a lot. There's no longer a need to ask mom or dad, you know, something for guidance or help. But it's, hey Siri, you know, what's this? What's that? What about this? What about that? You now can be an expert just like anyone else, since info is all that it takes. See that? Now you've overridden, you know, the need for mom and dad to train you up and to direct you and to guide you. Mom and dad would say something to you, you'd be in the back seat, you know, fact checking them. Like, not quite. That's where we're at nowadays. That's why you see what you see nowadays with, like, even the huge issues that are happening out there in the world. After the Parkland shooting that happened down in Florida, anybody can be an authority, therefore they use a kid. David Hall. right now, what's happening down there at the Mexican border. They're doing the same thing. I think they had, like, some little girl up there crying and talking about being separated from her family, and now she's, like, the forefront of this whole movement for don't separate the illegal children from their parents and stuff like that. But they're using that because anybody can be an authority nowadays. And it's funny because atheists think this way. And that's what it comes for an atheist when it comes down to God. That's what they're saying. Listen, show me the data. Show me the data of God. If you can't show it, then it doesn't exist. Therefore, I'm just as much of an authority as anyone else. And that's what this attitude comes down to. And it's kind of a sad thing, too, because some parents that are, you know, sorry parents, they end up using this to their benefit. Kids today are left to themselves because the parents also want to be left alone so that they can be happy. They'll use social media. They also use television to babysit their kids, to teach their kids, to spend time with their kids. And what they don't realize that they're doing is they're now separating themselves out of the kids' lives. And now when tough times come, when someone bullies that kid, when a situation happens in that kid's life that could easily be redirected by that parent, that could easily be given perspective by that parent, the kid tries to handle it himself and ends up committing suicide, doing something stupid, or just something like that. Why is that? The parent is no longer an authority in the kid's life because they've been farmed out to social media, to television, or to something else. Horrible thing. It's a tragedy in our day and age. Number 5. The last lie is that information is all that matters, so therefore, like I was saying, I don't need teachers. You see, when you become your own authority, then you don't need a teacher, and then you no longer become teachable. There's no need to listen to someone that's older than you when you can access technology better than they can and get your own answers. Kids nowadays start to have this unteachable spirit. People in general start to have an unteachable spirit. It's not just kids, adults. there will be older people in the generation, or there will be people that have a concept or an understanding of history, but we ignore them because their data doesn't line up with what we have right now before us. And you also get into a disrespectful generation. If there's no need to listen to anyone that's older than you, then why respect them? And so now you've got a generation where there's no respect for those that are older. I've got the data and that's all I need. And the sad thing about this, and we've said it around this church so many times, that the only thing that man learns from history is that men never learn from history. And because of this, the lessons of history are always repeated. We lose the lessons of history because we won't listen to those that live through them. They're old. They're out of touch. They're not up to speed with the new progress. So now we have a society, and this is one of the saddest things I've seen here lately. We've got a society that, since they don't learn history, when they do look at history, they rewrite it based off of our warped ideologies today. Let me show you what I mean by that. They'll look at the Bible. They'll look at the relationship that David and Jonathan had. And they'll say, oh, well, there you go. David and Jonathan were homosexuals. Why is that? Because homosexuality is accepted today. They don't understand the love that God gave between those guys for each other, what they're representing, the picture of Jesus Christ in the church. They go past all that stuff and the understanding. They take today's ideologies and they read them in the yesterday's history. They'll look at Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene and not understand the typology there. And they'll say, well, there you go. Jesus Christ, his lover was Mary Magdalene. And they're probably married. AJ, back when he was in youth group, I remember him telling me that, and I don't know, maybe you guys can testify to this, he said in high school nowadays, they're no longer teaching that the pilgrims came across for religious freedom to escape religious persecution, but that they came across for financial and economic freedom. Because they wanted crops to be developed over here in America, and they wanted to exploit their economic principles across the world or whatnot. Which is complete hogwash when you look at the people that came over. One of the things that they do nowadays with the whole racial thing is they look at history and they say anyone that wasn't an abolitionist was probably a white supremacist. Which when you study history and you look at what actually happened, abolitionism was almost like terrorism back then. They completely did not understand the culture of that time, day and age, and they end up getting a lot more people endangered or whatnot. Alright, so that right there were the five lies that social media has given us today. And now what I want to do real quick, I want to take the truth of the Word of God and go back just to give you guys a conclusion to each one of those lies and show you what the truth of it is. Alright, so remember, the first lie was, I am the center of my own universe. Okay, obviously, what's the answer to that? No, God is the center of the universe. Now why is that important? Remember, if you're the center of your universe, when things break down in your life, there's nothing else to live for. Okay? When bad things happen in your world, it devastates you because it's all about you. But watch this. When God's the center of the universe, I now live for Him. So when my world sucks, it's okay because I still have something, or even better, someone great to exist for. I've got something better for myself to live for. It doesn't matter what happens to me because it's not about me. You see that? What happens with me is only secondary to what's going on with God. And that is what the Bible teaches us, and that's why a Christian can have victory in no matter what circumstances that they're in. Alright, the lie number two was, I deserve to be happy all the time. What's the truth about that? It's not about happiness, but it's about joy in all our circumstances. It's about having joy. Joy. J-O-Y. In all of our circumstances. And I just said, it's not about you being happy all the time. It's about having joy. Remember what the first thing was? The universe revolves around God. And I love this little acronym I learned a long time ago. For Christians that have joy in their life, they've got to have Jesus Christ first. Others second. Notice it's not I am second, it's others are second. Alright? And then you are last. When the disciples were asking Jesus Christ about the law, they said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? You know what he said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and the second is like unto you, unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He put himself last once again. God first, other second, you third. Social media flip-flops that. It makes it a yaj, whatever that is. Okay. And that's what joy is. Joy is the peace that passes all understanding. Joy is, man, I just lost my job. This person in my family's dying. This person's sick. I got all these bad circumstances happening, but then you still have the principles of the Word of God to get you through that. You got peace because of that. Joy overrides what happens in your life. Man is more concerned with how he feels. When a man is more concerned with how he feels than what he does, he'll never do anything that's worthwhile. And that's why you got to rely on joy because of what Jesus Christ did for you. All right, number three. Lie number three was, I must have choice. But check this out. What's the truth to that? Choice is a privilege, not a guarantee. And that's something you're going to have to hold yourself accountable on. You know, we're in America, guys. I mean, at the end of the day, God blessed this nation because of what Christians, honestly, have done with it. And we're still reaping the benefits of that. And because of that, we don't have a lot of issues. But the devil, he never misses an opportunity. And he's taken all those privileges that we have, and he's going to use that to make us soft and not trust in God. And so, therefore, it's our obligation to tell ourselves this. Listen, choice is not something that's a guarantee. It's a privilege. You're not entitled to have more options. The Bible says to you, godliness with contentment is great gain. And the Bible says, having food and raiment, we ought to be content. And anybody knows that prosperity in this world will only lead to you wanting more and more things. You know, there's never been a time where I got a new pair of shoes and I was satisfied for the rest of my life. Okay? For whatever reason, when I get something new, it just builds up my appetite for something more and more new. You know what? When I got my new car, that was the first new car that I ever got. And I was disgusted with myself. I think it was like the second week I had that thing, I was already thinking, I was like, man, I wonder what my next one's going to be. You know, that's what was going through my mind, just like that. And that's disgusting. The Bible says in Proverbs, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's what it comes down to. Just like hell is never satisfied with enough people down there, your eyes and destruction in this life will never be satisfied either. So don't serve them. Don't serve your eyes. All right, number four. The lie was this. I am my own authority. And we know the truth about that. Anybody that's been around here, you say, what is it, Zach? God's ultimate authority? Yeah, but let's go ahead and let's isolate that some more. The Bible. The King James Bible is what I'm talking about. Because anything can be God nowadays, guys. You know that. What is God? You know, people, it's a man, it's a woman, it's a feeling, it's a song. You know what I mean? No, let's isolate it. The Bible is the absolute authority. And if you don't have that in your life, you're screwed. Now, why do we have to rely on the Bible as absolute authority? Because facts can be relative. Truth depends on who's in control also. If you live in a communist country, I hope you're not relying on them to give you the truth. They'll give you what they want you to hear. When it comes to the authority, when it comes to facts, when it comes to truth, it depends on who you're going to stand before at the end. And you're going to be standing before God. And so you better get in step with what he has. And I think one of the problems that we have in our society nowadays is we think that if somebody is smart, and check this out, we think if somebody has a high IQ, has a great education, and is super smart, then they're also right. That is so not true. You guys think that there's anybody in the world smarter than Pastor Bob? You think there's anybody in the world smarter than me? Of course not. Okay. So, no, duh, right? There's been tons of men that have come down the ages that have been much more brilliant than the people that teach you the Bible. But they were wrong. Smarts does not equal rights. Here's a great example. There's nobody in history that's ever been smarter than the devil. The Bible says he's wiser than Daniel. Alright, now check this out. There's no one in history smarter than the devil, yet he's always wrong. How is that possible? He told Eve, go ahead and eat of it, nothing's going to happen to you. Moron. Okay, every time this guy opens up his mouth, he's saying the wrong thing, but he's more brilliant than anybody. So watch out for that. You've got to have an authority that lines up with God. You can't just rely on facts. Information is not the key. It's lining that information up with the truth of the Word of God. All right, number five. That lie was that information is all that matters, so I don't need teachers. Now, here's the truth of the matter. You need teachers to teach you wisdom and understanding. And this is huge. You seek God for wisdom and understanding. You can't get that just from a pool or a table of facts, okay? The problem with facts and information is that information will contradict itself. This is why we can't figure out who shot JFK. This is why people still don't know what happened on 9/11. We've got a ton of facts. We can tell you how quick the buildings went down. We can tell you what they burned with. We can tell you what hit them. We can tell you who was responsible for it. Why? Why did it happen? All right, 2016 campaign. They're still, you know, arguing about that stupid stuff with Russia collusion. Or did this person help this person or that person with that person? Just science itself is always at odds with one another. If you base your life off of facts, of science and stuff like that, you'll never have any absolutes in your life. It'll always be changing with the tide. Facts are useless without direction. The facts that you attain in life have got to be directed towards a purpose. And like I said, you take the Great Pyramid, we know the measurements of that thing. We know the location of it. We even know what the building materials are. But we have no clue as to why it's there or its overall meaning. You know why? Facts alone, knowledge alone, will not help you. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. What do you need? You need wisdom and understanding. What's wisdom, Zach? Wisdom is how you apply the facts that you have. Alright? I've got facts that I'm fat. Let's say that, alright? I got facts that maybe every time that I eat something, I'll explode or something stupid like that. Okay, check this out. Having those facts doesn't do me any good. What I need to know is, now that I have this knowledge, how can I apply it to help myself out? Wisdom is how you apply the knowledge that you need. Number two, you need wisdom. Number two, you need understanding. What's understanding, Zach? It's why something is the way it is. It's how God fits into it. It's why is this even in existence in the first place? If everything came about by a creator, if everything came about by God, then what's this thing's purpose in life? I think it was Lauren that texted me this week about what corn represents in the Bible. She's got facts. She's got tons of verses with corn in it. But why is it special? What's the point of this? Okay? Wisdom. Let's take this knowledge and apply it. Corn represents the Word of God. Okay? Why is God putting it in there? The way that they pass out corn or withhold corn will be the same way that preachers today pass out the Bible or withhold the Bible. You see that? When you add wisdom and knowledge to something, now you get the complete picture. Bob uses this great illustration all the time. We know that World War I and World War II happened. We can tell you how many people died. We can tell you what groups were involved in it. We can tell you all those statistics. But why did they happen in the overall scheme of things if there's a God? Why would he allow so much death to take place? Why would he allow so much destruction? Because God's got a plan, understanding. He's got a people that he cares about. He's trying to get them ready for an event, and therefore, he's got to move the table, the pieces on the game plate to get that stuff ready. World War I, let's wipe out this group of people so that we can get this land ready for this group of people. World War II, now let's take my chosen people and get them ready to go back into the land. Understanding. So, that's just a little review of that film that I saw, Connect, and everything. And I want you guys to have that just to be able to understand some of these things that are taking place. And like I said, I was looking at that list, and I was like, you know what, that's a good point. You know, I can see myself kind of even going down that way just because it becomes a routine and it sneaks up on you. You know, you start thinking like this. You start, you know, catering to yourself more and more and more. But you guys have got the Bible. You got all the tools that you need to be able to combat that stuff. But it'll be a good help, you know, when you're talking with people and keep you in the know and everything like that. So, good job tonight, guys. Hopefully that helped out. Thanks for listening. We'll pray, and then we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, thanks for the kids and just their focus tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just bless that, Lord, and take what was said and help them forget all the stupid stuff that I oftentimes say, Lord, just because of who I am, and just stick to the stuff that you can use in developing them. God, you know where each one of these kids is at. You know why you wanted me to put that out tonight and what you're going to do with it. And I pray that you would just use that in their lives and help that thing to go forth and accomplish what your purpose is with them. Lord, I pray and ask that you would look after them as they go away from here. Bless our time this weekend as we spend time together, and just be sure to give you all the praise, honor, and glory in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys. We'll see you.
Oh, you just dropped it again.
Your coat knocked it over a little bit.